And so here, let's just jump right into the crazy local stuff. Peter, what do you think?
Yeah, the county meeting, and I didn't go yesterday because I had an appointment that I had to get to, but I did watch the first couple hours, and it was bizarre. Three people were arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Even before it started, security guard's been kind of running amok there, and one citizen came in, and the security guard trespassed him, and basically put hands on him and was going to throw him out.
Ah!
But when they called the sheriff said, "Yeah, we ain't got anything to go on."
No.
Although later in the day, that guy did kind of yell some things. He didn't curse, as far as I know, which they accused him of, but he was disorderly. Yeah. But three people were arrested for disorderly conduct or something like that. One is a woman who everybody says weighs about 80 or 90 pounds, got knocked down by, according to one account, got knocked down by a sheriff's deputy. And then when she got up, the security guard knocked her down. Another account says, no, it was the security guard. But anyway, she got knocked to the floor. I got to sympathize with Manny Sanchez, though I think he was idiotic to approve the Jupiter Project. They all were who approved that. Everybody's got to be a little better about not hollering out when other people are talking.
Yeah.
Even if we think it's an out-and-out lie, and I understand the anger because he also limited the public speakers to about 20 or 30.
Oh, and how many were in the audience?
Well,
it was huge, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was packed. One woman we know, I think it was Jan Thompson, but she... You know, I just know this because there's somebody who's talking about it on Facebook. And she said, yeah, I couldn't find a parking place, so I went home.
So there would have been even more.
Yep. At any rate, there were a lot of people. I don't know how many wanted to speak. But the other thing was, I think they've now instituted a sign-up thing.
See, oh, that's a little intimidating.
And for example, I was watching it, and I learned of this first event that happened where they hassled Derek Pacheco illegally, and I wanted to go down. I wanted to go down and speak, but I couldn't.
Hadn't signed up in advance.
And the people who had were mostly the Project Jupiter people. Bust in a set of workers, all in matching kind of
yellow vests. Wasn't orchestrated.
And that's who had signed up. So they kept calling these names, and you know there were about two, three others. But there's a lot of negative feeling, but a fair amount of positive feeling. I can't tell how much because the Jupiter people lie.
Yeah,
they've committed crimes in terms of trying to affect the public and convince people everybody wants Jupiter. It ain't so. But there may be more people than we realize. You know, it may be more controverted, not just people against the commission. There may be some other people who support it.
Yeah.
Workers in particular, unionist people who... Anyway, the main problem that they... You know, I was working on a column on it, but they... They fired the county manager.
Yes.
So everybody around the county has been saying, now what are we going to do? Because they've said, we're going to do a longer search than usual because two commission seats are changing hands because there's an election on and two new people, and nobody's running for re-election. So there'll be two new commissioners in January. So they're going to run a longer search. I hope they do better this time. And so what were they going to do? Well, it looks like what they're going to do, they had sort of three assistant county managers. And short term, they'll make them all sort of the acting county manager and divide up the duties. And there are more things going on than usual, what with Jupiter going amok, running amok. the county commissioners might not agree, but with Jupiter to manage, an audit to correct a lot of things from, and, you know, usual business, there's a lot to do. So they're appointing three people, I think, whether I agree or not. Stephen Lopez, who used to be the NMSU police chief.
Yes. And,
good guy when he was.
Good guy, yeah.
I don't know, you know, as far as...
He was a student of mine about 20, 30 years ago, so he was a good guy then, too.
Yeah, bright guy. Deborah Weir, who should never be the manager, in my personal opinion, and some new guy... His initials are LL, something like Luigi Littrell, or he's got no qualifications to be a county manager. He's anyway, he just hasn't got the experience.
Yeah,
but he's part of what they got.
Okay,
so that's where we are for now.
So and the I county think they, is really in.
I
some...
mean, they recognize the deficiencies, and they're going to try to get a consultant. To basically mentor these people, guide them a little as far as managing a large group, which they, for the most part, have not done.
Yeah, this will be a real challenge, I think, the county is facing.
That's madness, and I think the federal madness, before we go on to other topics, is, you know, two or three things. I think third would be Fauci getting pushed around by Rand Paul and telling Paul, you got an obsession with me. And then imposing the Fifth Amendment, invoking the Fifth Amendment, which I think I'd do if I were before
Congress.
Oh, yeah, because
you don't know.
If taking a picture of stones is a criminal act now.
Yeah, gets you prosecuted, investigated,
I think I'll shut my eye. Nothing I say is going to do me any good, but so I sympathize with Mr. Fauci, although I am amused and not impressed by how impressed he was by celebrities and by his fame.
Yes.
You know, it's nonsense, man. You're better than that. But two things.
Mm-hmm.
Thune, the president, and Thune, and Kentucky's Senator McConnell and its Governor Beshear. The Senate is going crazy, and maybe the Republicans are finally rebelling against Mr. Trump's insanity.
Yeah. At least finally realizing they are a co-equal branch. They don't have to jump when he says jump.
And he's pushing them to pass the
law
to cancel their summer recess. Until they can pass the Save the Republicans Act.
Yeah.
And I call it that because the one thing Trump and I agree on is the only way the Republicans are going to win the next election is probably by passing that.
And suppressing the Democratic turnout, depressing the vote.
Think about it. I would not be able to vote. Would you? Because I'll bet you weren't born Baker.
Yes. Actually, I'm one of the married women who kept my maiden name.
Okay.
So I was born
so
Baker, but it's very, very difficult.
So
if you were born with, if you married and changed your name, or if you just didn't like your name, you had a falling out with your family, you changed it. Now you can't vote without all sorts of hoops.
Yeah.
Under this law, if it passes. That's a strong reason not to do it.
But a lot of us wouldn't be able, I mean, I'd have to find out, I'm sure I could ultimately find out what hospital I was born in Brooklyn.
And get the paperwork.
80 years ago. Soon.
It will really affect a lot of people
and
who are older trying to get those documents.
My grandmother was so old, she died at 100, but nobody knew exactly her age because the place with the records had burned down.
Yes.
But anyway, it's insanity.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of that going around. The other crazy thing, and there was a woman journalist not long ago who basically she spent a lot of time at the hospital where McConnell is, and she was writing, he's brain dead. Now, whether that's true or an exaggeration, they are trying to pretend that he's not.
And he could put it to rest easily if, as they're reporting, he can speak, he can make a phone call. He can call Andy Beshear. He could call anybody and have a conversation. That's all you can do to a picture of he and his Elaine Chao are not, is not
right.
proof.
No. At the, you know why this is important?
Yes, but why don't you tell our readers why it's important?
Listeners. I don't have any readers.
Oh, that's right. We're listeners. Sorry. I keep thinking of you're writing, yes.
No, the reason it's important is that, and I don't remember the exact details, but at some point in August, there's a deadline.
Yes.
Before that, if he can't function, they have the governor,
can replace Beshear, him.
A Democrat, either replaces him or calls a special election
yes.
that anybody can be in.
Yes.
As opposed to the usual Republican versus Democrat. And whatever it is, whether it's him appointing, and I think it is some kind of election, the Republicans are worried
Nervous.
About that.
Yes, that would help flip
worried.
The Senate.
In Kentucky, they're not that worried about a traditional, you know, McConnell against whoever's challenger is, or you know somebody replacing McConnell, but a well-known Republican in Kentucky. They don't fear that. But whatever happens before August 18th or whatever the date is, they really fear.
Yes.
So they have a very strong motive to have him
propped up and pretending.
And it's not him calling up and saying, "Hey, I'm okay." You know, he could call the New York Times
yes.
or Fox News.
It'd be easy to
and
do.
And just say, "Hey, I'm okay. I just, you know, I had this fall, and I can't walk, and I have some other infection,
and
whatever."
Yeah, and the reason it looks so suspicious is because they're not doing that and releasing a photograph which could have been taken, you know, 2 years ago.
Right, and people who are, you know, have a motive. Are saying, "Oh yeah, I talked to him for 20." They all said 20
yeah.
minutes.
Yes, and that's suspect.
But
yeah,
it's and Beshear has requested,
yeah,
you know, put up or shut up. Tell me, you know, call
yes.
me and tell me you're okay.
Yeah, and that you can serve
or give it up.
Yeah, yeah that you can but continue to serve the people of Kentucky.
I don't think he has any mechanism to
no,
enforce.
No, I don't think so either. Yesterday he was saying that was really Thune's responsibility to put the pressure on McConnell, because this is a Senate, not you know.
Right.
But it is Beshear is right, and that's for the people of Kentucky. I mean that there's a responsibility you have as an elected representative, an elected senator,
and the people around him. I mean. We quite rightly remount the, not that we know them personally, but, you know, here or in people's, you know, bars and living rooms, they remount the Democrats around
yes.
Biden.
Yes.
Who kept us from seeing the apparent decline.
And
same
it's
here.
All magnified, yeah. Do you think we got a call?
I can't tell. Nope.
Okay.
Or it was called about something else. About station. We are at 526-5825. But you were traveling,
yeah,
and I think you had an interesting tale to tell.
I came back less than a week ago. I came back from travels on the Arctic, which were really wonderful. And before I get into that, I see
we have a caller.
So, okay.
Good morning. Good morning. Are you speaking?
Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
Can you hear us?
Yes, now I can hear you.
I can barely hear you, but that's okay. Good morning, Ms. Baker and Peter Goodman. Gregory Sharan is here. I would like to first express that we all remember the deaths in El Paso on August the 3rd. This is the seventh year in which 27 lives were lost.
Yes.
At a Walmart due to our president's insistence that we were being invaded
yes.
by Mexico.
Yes.
And secondly, because the president was in Detroit and made self-deprecating statements, I hope that he has made your life better than your parents have.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
And you're right. That's such a heartrending anniversary that's coming up. And we can't forget that the power of hateful speech, it's not just speech, can instantly translate to a murderous intent. Thank you for bringing that up.
And I got to agree. I think about it because I write a column. I also babble on the radio sometimes. But I write a column. I say strong things sometimes and criticize people. And when I see what happens with Trump, where he says over-the-top rhetorical things like the one you just cited, that we're being invaded, which is nonsense, people act. And I would be mortified, if I criticized somebody and that person got harmed in some way, I'd be mortified. And Trump never even says, I'm really sorry that happened.
Yeah.
You know, he says, well, I didn't do it.
Exactly.
So
never taking responsibility.
Everybody in whatever their party or no party ought to be troubled by Mr. Trump. Anything else you want to say, Gregory? Or are you gone?
I guess he's gone. Well, thank you very much for calling
Gregory,
in.
Thank you, Gregory, for reminding us about that. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Nancy, you had observations based on your
travels. Yes, so I've been in airports a lot. That's my main point. And one of the things I noticed, although I didn't see any arrests taking place, but there was a presence of ICE agents at JFK. And then I got home and did some more reading, and that evidently Homeland Security is now collaborating with TSA to flag anyone with an expired visa. So what is happening, and they're plainclothes, often plainclothes ICE officers, so you don't know if you're being stopped, if it's legitimate or a crazy person.
Right.
You don't know. So when a passenger scans a boarding pass that's been flagged, an alarm will go off, and suddenly that person is grabbed, taken into ICE custody. These include spouses of U.S. citizens who are still waiting for green cards, others whose visas have expired but who have pending visa extension applications. One person was an engineer from India, for example, waiting for his work visa extension. Another was a disabled Ugandan woman with an active asylum application. Another woman with an asylum application was picked up when she was flying to her father's funeral in Texas. They've arrested a Southwest flight attendant who evidently had an expired visa from long ago, a former au pair with a pending visa extension, and several newlyweds married to U.S. citizens who are all just waiting for their green cards. I mean, this process of getting the paperwork is so slow that there is just hundreds of thousands of people with expired visas that are trying to do it right. So the New York Times reports immigration agents have acted in at least 15 airports in recent weeks. And some fellow passengers are filming these, so you might have seen some of the clips on the social media. Immigration attorneys say they've never seen anything like this. And in the past, they've advised clients, yes, you can fly domestically if you have an ID. Now they're advising clients that if you've got any pending change in your status, do not fly, even domestically. And that's just one of the big issues. And I have another one, but I want to pause here and see if you want to jump in.
Well, I think one thing that people miss in all of this making war on immigrants, aside from the civil liberties and the fact that people we know, and by the way, we have I'm not going to get into names because there'll be a legal case, but somebody I think we both know, I certainly know in town, has an adopted son from another country. And that person they are about to send that person back to the other country. I don't know how long it's been.
Oh, my, yeah.
And there'll be a legal battle about it. But aside from the civil liberties and the fact that people we know who happen to be Hispanic, some end up getting harassed, a few end up getting killed, and they're citizens, like you or me or anybody listening.
Yep.
Aside from that, one of the key, and I wrote a little about this the other day, but one of the key things we have going for us is our universities and the fact that many people come because of our supposed freedom that's eroding, because of our freedom and our university system, a lot of people come here. and go to school. And most of our inventions, from the telephone on up to more recent ones, are by immigrants or the son of immigrants. I would challenge anybody out there to think of a couple, you know.
Or daughters of immigrants.
Your daughter?
Our daughters, not just sons.
Or daughters. So, did I say, I meant to say offspring.
Offspring of, children of.
But thank
you. Yeah, and it is. I met an Uber driver in New York, and since I was stuck in New York for a couple of days waiting for another flight, you know, storm delays and everything. And she's Burmese, and she's been here 20 years, and she's a citizen. So I talked to her about traveling in the country, and she said, oh, no, she was not going to get in a plane. And this was before I'd understood. She says, my skin is brown. And she thinks she will be picked up, even though she's gone through all the hoops.
And
she's
she could
US
be
citizen,
right.
And she could be right. That's what's really frightening.
It's insane, but the effect on us.
On all of us.
Everybody thinks... Everybody thinks, what do I care? I'm not brown.
Yeah.
But basically, as a country, we got ahead of everybody else.
Yes. Because
historically, different entities do that because they figure something out that every, you know, whether it's Dutch tulips or British ships or whatever it may be, or our management skills. But we had a lot of advantages in the way of natural resources. But you get ahead, and then you spend all your money defending your international wealth, and you fall behind because somebody else develops the next thing. Well, we had a trick that might have helped us survive that and actually come up with the next thing, even though we came up with the last thing. And it was these people, many immigrants, but a lot of people going to college and trying to figure stuff out, whether to make money or for the good of humanity, whatever, and coming up with things. And if you want to make war on that, and basically, and there are figures on how much our international enrollment has declined, that ain't good for any of us.
No, I agree. Agree.
But you want to make another point about...
Well, about airports, yes, because another thing, and it is happening to U.S. citizens coming in from foreign locations, you know, you have to go through the customs checkpoint. Mm-hmm. Well, evidently in Atlanta in January, an American citizen came through the airport. They wanted his phone, to seize his phone. He had been implicated, I guess. He'd been at some of the protests against a large... he'd been protesting the building of this large thing like a Project Jupiter, but for police training that was out in a beautiful, pristine area.
In Atlanta?
Outside of Atlanta. And so he was flagged, and they wanted his telephone. And he gave the phone over, but then he gave the passcode. It is one of those kind of passcodes that will erase everything. So they put in this – I'm trying to think what this is called. It deletes all of your data. Duress. It's a duress passcode. And it deleted all of his data. And now, then he was arrested because he destroyed evidence. So now he's in court. He was never read his rights. He was denied repeated requests to speak with a lawyer. There was, of course, no search warrant or court order. Customs and Border Authority say we don't need a court order or warrant because a traveler, even a U.S. citizen, is not on U.S. soil until authorized to enter. Now, the statute that they're using is very seldom been used. There's another one if you destroy evidence. It's quite serious, and the authorities then show what the underlying investigation was and why this evidence was so pivotal. And that has a number of years attached to it. But this one is a law that's seldom used. It's like a 5-year maximum penalty because the government does not want to reveal the underlying investigation, and that's probably because he was exercising his free speech rights. So they're only talking not about the underlying rationale for the demand for the phone's data, but that he destroyed the phone. So what we're seeing now is that more people, as they're traveling, are starting to ditch their smartphones. You've got notably attorneys worried about attorney-client privilege information on their phones, journalists with protected sources, foreign students who participated in protests. They're leaving their smartphones at home and taking burner phones when they travel internationally.
Even foreign students have been thrown out because they had Facebook messages or emails back and forth not respecting Mr. Trump as much
as
they should.
Yes, that's right. So it's not even about – and Customs says it's looking for content related to terrorism or contraband or a visitor's admissibility, but that's not true. These searches are getting much wider. This has not been done before. This is a new thing. In fact, as recently as last year, you could enter the country and as a U.S. citizen and deny access to your phone's data. That was just last – that was a year and a half ago. You were able to do that. And now you can't. Now it's a crime. So if you're going to delete your data with one of these killer passcodes, do it before you get off the plane. Get it before you hand over your phone, because that way you could say, well, gosh, I wasn't acting to impede your investigation.
No.
But it's very frightening. I mean, these are U.S. citizens who are having a real Fourth Amendment a real challenge to the Fourth Amendment rights.
I mean, I already can't fly because I'm a New Mexican. I mean, I don't have a birth certificate. My passport is out of date.
Oh, yeah, then you can't fly. Well, you can get a new one with Mr. Trump's picture on it. No, thank you.
Oh,
if you get it out of D.C., I think.
Yeah, I should be able to get a new one. And I should get around to it.
Yes, you should get around to it. Absolutely.
It is essential.